Get ready to dive into the cyberpunk future of Ghost in the Shell as we review the movie and we talk about the controversy behind it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Hello!
Hello, everybody!
Hi, hello. Thank you for watching The Mighty Otaku. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube and follow us on the Twitter at The Popcorn Talk. Today, we are going to talk about a very exciting topic that no one, I'm sure, saw coming. We're going to talk about Ghost in the Shell, and with us today, we actually tried really hard and got a panel of people that...
Who are diverse
and gave a shit.
Yes.
So, please, introduce yourselves.
I want to introduce myself, but this song is in my ears right now. It's so good.
He's casting spells over here.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I'm Flitz. I also go by Nerdsworth. But for this, I'm going to go by Flitz. Sup with it? Hey. Freeze the roof, right, guys? 1990s are back.
Not for this movie.
What's up, guys? My name's Sohinky, and someone has some explaining to do because the show is called Popcorn Talk. I prepared a lot of popcorn stuff to talk about. I was going to talk about my love for kettle corn.
Oh,
I really like white cheddar. I had a lot of really hard-hitting points about white cheddar.
Very common mistake.
They're whitewashing popcorn too much.
Make it relevant.
I prefer the caramel corn.
You're right. Where's popcorn? That's
if you go to any bowling alley in the U.S., what's in the vending machine? White cheddar.
Hate it. You have
nonsense.
Very good points. I'm sorry we can't talk about that today.
It's okay.
And with us is obviously our usual host.
Yep. Hey, everyone. I am at Yume Warlock on the internet. You can find me everywhere. What I just said. Wow, why did I do that?
I don't know.
Shut up, Max. Stop looking at me.
And you can find me at Max Salts on everything. So we are talking about Ghost in the Shell once again. And I guess let's just start off. Should we talk about the movie and like what it's about? Should I give a brief synopsis? Do you think that's even necessary?
I think it's necessary.
It's necessary because it's nothing like nothing like the anime.
We're gonna go through this real quick because we have a lot to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
The movie starts off with Scarlett Johansson being our favorite major, not really. And she is named Major Mira Killian. This is important. She is created by Hanka Robotics as a kind of experiment. She's one of the first in the line of full-body prosthetic robots that have a human brain but a fully artificial body. Obviously, there's some sort of like wackiness behind it, and you know people are still trying to get used to it. And she is put into Section 9, which is an anti-terrorist group that basically investigates high-profile targets or high-profile crimes. And the mysterious Kuze starts assassinating all of these people from Hanka Robotics. I don't know why. I don't know if there's like a coincidence or whatever. But during the investigation, she finds out that there's conspiracy behind her creation. And now this is spoiler territory, so if you haven't watched it, I don't know why you're watching
this. Listen, just keep watching this. Like you're not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Not really.
Like,
not really.
You're not.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I'm gonna turn it off. No, it's what you're not.
Yeah.
No.
But him telling you that you're not gonna be surprised did give you enough time to turn this off if you are worried about spoilers. So
but
well
you're
done.
Not.
Yeah. But you're not. Because, like, really, it's not gonna surprise you. It's also not going to be anything important at the end of the day. And so the spoiler is the fact that she's actually Motoko Kusanagi, who is a Japanese runaway. That was kidnapped by white people and turned into a robot via mass experiments of white people.
She got colonized.
Experimenting on Japanese people.
Which is like extra super fucked up.
Yeah.
She was the 99th trial. There were 98 before her.
That's true. Which is a very weird number. Like, why?
So
why
there were 98 more Asians that they stole.
Yeah, and failed to turn into humanoid robots.
Sounds like colonization to me.
A little bit. So, yeah, this is a really deep movie. It really goes about our history and blah, blah, blah. But, okay, enough about that. You know, this movie is visually, for the most part, appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful movie.
It's a ridiculously beautiful movie. But I want to hear your thoughts on what you felt about being a fan of, you know, the anime. If you've seen the movies, which everyone has here for the most part, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can start out. I saw the first movie when I was a kid, and that was my only Ghost in the Shell experience before seeing this movie. So I was basically going into it fresh, I didn't remember a ton about the movie. I remembered about like Major and all that stuff, but I was going into the movie with a very open mind because I didn't have the sort of fandom that a lot of other people have when they see the movie. Mm-hmm. So just rating it alone as an action movie, it was like okay.
Yeah.
It's an okay action movie that if you watched it, if you don't know what Ghost in the Shell is at all, and you go in and you watch it, you'll walk out being like, that was okay. I probably could have waited till it was on Netflix, but mm-hmm. it was all
right. It actually, you're right. It does feel like a Netflix movie in sort of like the stumbles that they've had recently where it's like,
yes.
You know, even with Iron Fist, the action, even though it's an action movie, and that's also racially charged, but if we are ignoring all of that, it's kind of a mediocre action movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like at the end
well,
of the day.
And that's,
the,
I, the,
like, it, the, you'll, you, if you see it, you'll probably walk out, you won't be like, that was bad. You'll be like, that was all right.
The thing is, and to have something that is so coveted to so many fans, I think to take it and make it something that's just passable is a greatly offensive thing. And not only to only make it passable, but to change casting where it was absolutely unnecessary. All the Asian actors were relegated to the background where it clearly happened in an Asian microcosm. Yeah. A big part of the problem is they focused way too heavily on Kusanagi. Yeah, and I'm calling her Kusanagi.
Because
that's her name.
Because yeah. that's her name. But also, it was not organic within the world. A big part about the anime is that the whole you cared about the immersion and about the world as an organic being as well as Kusanagi within it, the humans and the cyborgs. They didn't capture that. They were trying too hard to play in too many tropes, and they overtalked at so many different points, which is a Western problem, but this is an Eastern philosophy, and it's very much so a movie. Ghost in the Shell as a series is very much so about identity, which they covered on a scratch and sniff.
I think if you're a fan of Ghost in the Shell, aside from what you touched on, what you talked about at the very end there, I think is the most important thing that they didn't really do right is that like there's all those crazy questions when you watch Ghost in the Shell of like what is humanity and all that, and they didn't really touch on that enough at all to be thought provoking in any way.
Yeah, I think this movie like. First of all, I found it incredibly boring, more so than problematic.
I legit fell asleep.
We both talked about it. I almost fell asleep. I was just like
it like
boring.
I just saw it too.
Yeah,
like it's
it was
not
terrible.
Like I saw it late. It was after, bro. But, I legit. Just
I will
saw
say
it.
Like there were part like it takes a lot for me to think that something is boring in a movie. I'm like a very easygoing movie watcher. I don't try to critique.
You're so
things
forgiving.
Too much. I am. Like 20 minutes into this film, there's a solid half hour
oh
that I was like,
yeah, it was
kind of.
Yeah.
It's like there's almost they're trying to build characters but in like the most boring way ever, and it's such a pity because like once again the visuals are amazing, the set dressing is amazing. Like if you were looking at it just visually and you didn't think about any of the race part or even any of the dialogue and you just saw it shot for shot,
it nails
it visually, except for the fact that like the city is basically a hologram clusterfuck of just like racial, like Japanese stereotypes, where it's like koi fish, sumo wrestlers, geishas, running people. Which
koi,
I guess the running
koi fish also.
Okay. And koi fish. Can't
the,
forget
the
about
the
koi fish.
The biggest problem I have is that like it's so they have like all these people that are like oh like the first scene is like a group of black guys and a white dude.
Yeah.
And then everything is Asian. You have one Korean sign. Two Chinese signs. The rest of it's Japanese.
Well, and this is the thing about that scene. That first scene where people first really start dying and where the criminals are first introduced, and this is the scene of this is the imagery that will be splashed and put in front of your face for the entire movie. These geisha who are supposed to be beautiful and yes tantalizing, but then they're turned into monsters and then you see the city and these monster faces are everywhere. That's a terrible like design flaw. And then all the black dudes who were bald-headed African dudes, then they all died immediately. There were one other black person
and
in the shadow.
Guess what all the bad guys were, what race they were. They were all Asian.
Where they're like, well, she doesn't have to be Asian. That entire world was completely Asian. Yeah. Like, if you watch it, everyone in the background is Asian who doesn't have a speaking role or is a thug. Then you get
except
to,
for
like,
a hipster Japanese man.
But then
who refused to Ingles. Yeah. Zatoichi.
Takeshi. Okay, to be fair, Beat Takeshi was the best fucking part of this whole movie.
Because he was us.
Yeah.
Well, represented us. I'm watching this in subtitles.
But even then, like, Beat Takeshi wasn't playing Aramaki. He's playing Beat Takeshi in every Beat Takeshi movie. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you have, like, the random, like, garbage man assassin. He's white. Yeah. I'm like, why does this? Why does
he could
this
have
random,
been Latino?
Yeah, he could have been anything. But every speaking line went to a white person, except for like the two or three lines that like the other members of like.
Like Togusa has like three lines. He's one of the members of a section.
Another
nine,
one,
the
who
one with the
just
one with
pushed
the
right
bullet.
To the back.
Yeah. Once again, and his story is super interesting too. Mm-hmm.
So we talked about this a little bit in that it's interesting that like if you look at Major and then you look at Scarlett Johansson as Major, like they do look very similar, and it's something that happens in anime a lot, where there are, even though the character's supposed to be Japanese, they kind of look Caucasian, because there's that weird culture of like that's like almost something to
that's like a cultural beautification, right? It's sort of like the idea, like, you know, why the reason that Korean plastic surgery in general it looks the way that it does is because it's for a, you know, it's basically for a sort of a Western face. Like, people go for a Western face. But however, this works only in animation because no matter what, you know, big goo-goo eyes, tiny mouth, like, the setting is where it's it lives in, right?
I guess what I'm getting at is, or rather the question I would pose is, would you have been as upset if it was just ScarJo and then most of the supporting cast had been Asian?
You know, I would not even care about ScarJo. I understand that there's a problem, and that's sort of like the systematic underlining problem of the movie industry in general. Bigger. However, if someone is like, hey, there's a controversy, and it has nothing to do with race, and that's what they said. They quoted, you know, this movie has nothing to do with race. Scarlett Johansson said, I would never
assume to play another race.
Assume to play another race, except that the whole point of this
plot
movie...
Plot point is, that's what it is.
That's the plot. That's the main plot. That is the main twist of this movie. If it wasn't so goddamn important, then I wouldn't be mad about it. Then it would just be like a mediocre movie that think would have hit all the visual points. And I would be upset because if the material wasn't represented correctly as opposed to it being about fucking race.
Yeah, right. I think for me, like, it's more important that Kusanagi was Japanese or Asian looking. Because it's like, it's in the manga. Like, she's supposed to be... Her overall look is supposed to be a model that is got parts that can be easily replaced or like not stand out because she's got a very expensive body.
Right.
And like my husband and I talked about that. She's basically the company laptop you get when you sign up, and she doesn't own that body. But she doesn't stand out so that nobody can fucking steal her parts or whatever.
Yeah.
So for her to be white.
I was thinking that too when I walked down the street. That makes her a terrible assassin. It makes her a terrible agent. It makes
her
she
can turn invisible
whenever
she wants.
I completely agree.
Well, and because her skin is white, then, you know, it blends in.
To me, Bateau is the only one that I would have less of a problem that was. Because to me, Pillow Asbeg was pretty good in his role. But he wasn't.
They made him talk too much, where I thought he should have been a stronger silent type. But that's a personal problem.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, his relationship Bateau. No. Bateau's relationship with Motoko in this movie is completely wrong. Like, a lot of the times, it seems like he's protecting her. That's not the case. She's the senpai. He looks up to her.
He wants to be Big Brother.
He wants to be like her, and it's just completely wrong.
I was talking to someone else about this, too, Mari from Smosh Games, and she was telling me, like, a lot of the problems that she had with the movie, and I'm assuming that you guys will agree, that they didn't get the little stuff right about Asian culture.
Yeah.
Like when she saw her mother again, like her mother wouldn't have run up and hugged her because that's not something that happens in Japanese culture.
Yeah. Room. I had such a problem with her room. So she goes and visits her mom. First of all, her mom lets a complete white lady stranger into her house. Yeah. That's not gonna happen.
And it's like, you remind me of my child. Like, no, there's no way. Yeah. Like, was she a robot to begin with?
Look at her room. Like, her room's got like a bonsai, a pagoda, a kimono. I was like, it's like going into like your room and seeing like a cowboy hat, a gun, an American flag, a Confederate flag. I was like, that's not how that works. It was just so like, why doesn't she have like every single touristy trap knick-knack there?
And that's what gets me, because it's a very much like, they tried to have this, they have this cool premise, right? It's like, hey, this is about the future and technology overwhelming stuff and like identity and blah, blah, blah. But it's like there's so many distractions of people not doing their research, which is the problem with any sort of Asian franchise now.
The fact that they didn't even try to make her speak any Japanese.
Nope. No.
But then this is something I read in an article too. If she was Japanese originally And Aramaki is speaking, like, Japanese the entire time. Why doesn't she fucking understand? Why is her mom speaking English to her?
Also, why do they need a normal human brain if they're if they have the ability to basically rewrite every part of that person's personality? You know what I mean?
You know what also bothers me? When they go to the grave?
What else bothered you about this movie?
You know what else? Hold up, her headstone
has her name, Motoko Kusanagi, in English.
Yeah.
And I was like, if her mom was Japanese, that name would not be an English letter.
Listen, this whole movie is about colonization. Let's just establish that that's what it's all about. It sucks. Yeah, I'm sad about, and thinking about the small details, there's, you think about how much the Japanese, the classic anime did in the maybe a little longer amount of time, and it was a slow pace, but the conversation it had, that even years, if you watch it now, you go, holy crap, that's super duper deep. That's super duper deep. They missed the conversation about consciousness and identity, and that frustrates me for one. And then I think the other thing that is an issue is I completely forgot where I was going.
But this is how you operate generally. Is you just keep
I think it's the small details like that they missed those small the eyes where that's one of the biggest things about Makoto. Where great, it was ScarJo, but there's no reason why she couldn't have slightly glowy. Which honestly, like even Yume wears contacts, and a Asian face with these striking glowing blue eyes would have done so much in terms of translating emotions in a short in a small way,
which is basically the way that it is in the series.
Yes.
You see that it's blended, but there's something like surreal about it.
Yeah.
You know, she's like the perfect like human sort of figure, but at the same time it looks artificial. The whole thing is like the idea, like you were saying with ScarJo kind of like looking kind of like her, is because she's supposed to be what everyone evolves into eventually.
Yeah.
When we become the kind of like one white homogenous people. Like no race, no racial features.
Which I thought it was really funny. I felt that incredibly funny because they were building the perfect like race of species for the planet. But that robot can get sunburnt. You know, if we talk about Earth, it ain't got no melanin in your robot.
But I think it's funny because
she must be the alpha. She must be the alpha project.
I was reading another article from like the Hollywood Reporter earlier where they asked like five Japanese descent and one from Japan who's living in LA what their thoughts on it. And they're like, so basically a bunch of white scientists stole Asian people, made them white, and a bunch of Asian scientists helped them. And it was just like bigger conversation of like how in Asia, like there's this kind of culture, like social accepted norm to it's okay to look white, but then like we'll get into later, it's not okay to look black.
No, not at all.
Racism exists in Japan, guys.
Racism, I mean, and I understand that racism does exist in Japan, and the thing about Japan, and I'm not making excuses for any one culture to be racist, but the fact of the matter is that we live in America. We live in and if this
we
hasn't
have more
been
exposure, is what you're saying, to more cultures and races.
Yeah.
We basically live in what they were trying to set out to do initially, what they said that they were trying to do, you know, in this sort of like melting pot culture. We can still all have those same problems and live together and still have refugees and still have, you know, economic problems and all of those things are a universal problem that doesn't matter what race you are, but it just this particular movie, like, you can't say things and then backtrack and then you realize like, oh, everything you said was 100% false.
Yeah, because their whole plot point,
not even a part of it was true.
Yeah, because they're like, well, it's not about race, but their whole plot point is explaining why they were whitewashing.
Yeah.
It's just like,
there was a
like,
whole justification for whitewashing.
They, their whole plot line was to justify why a white woman should play an Asian.
Yeah, and also to be like, there's no controversy here, and then it's, how do you have no foresight? How do you not watch this movie and be like, I think there might be a little bit of a problem?
Money, well, first of all. Second of all, money.
Well, so, and then it, like, so when I watched it, as I said, I went into it pretty fresh, and like I came out thinking, like that was an okay action movie. So then, afterward, talking to people and hearing all the other issues, it became apparent that it's like, you know, it's almost more frustrating because it's like, if you're gonna do all this, like at least be a decent movie,
at least be a good
movie. And so the fact that it was on top of all this stuff, that it wasn't like an incredible movie, like that's like even more of a punch to the gut.
The soundtrack fell short. It was it was a lot of like tracks.
That's such a big part of another iconic thing about
Ghost in the Shell, that they lost it. I don't know who was in charge, but they don't have a soul, and the movie didn't either. And that's really sad.
Okay, so let's also talk about, you know,
no,
if we are not talking about
ghost. It didn't have a ghost.
It didn't have a ghost.
It can't upload.
It was just a shell.
If we were taking the whole whitewashing aside, do you think ScarJo, just from a technical sense, like, do you feel like her acting was good?
No, she was straight up Nicolas Cage.
Like, she the only problem is, like, I'm not the hugest fan of ScarJo. I feel like she has movies that she's done pretty well in. Uh-huh. But, like, this, I don't know what the direction was, but the direction was, like, you're a robot. You've only been a robot for a year. So kind of be a robot, but don't kind of be a robot. You know, it's like...
I'll defend her acting. I think her acting was fine, but it was funny because I didn't even think about it when I was watching, but what you pointed out after the movie with, like, her weird robot walk,
yes.
I was like, that was a little rigid.
That was a real dude walk. Like, she walked like she was walking through North Philly. She walked like she had something in her pocket she needed to protect.
Yeah. she walked like she's been, like, riding a horse for, like, 12 hours.
No, she walked, like, as if one shoulder was heavier the entire time. And, like, it's, like, unlike Max, like, I actually do tend to like ScarJo in her movies. But I think she's one of those actresses that she needs a good director to be a good actress. Whatever the direction was, they told her to, like, lumber around.
Yeah. But that was for every...
I think she was fine, though. I felt like she did as well as she could, like, on an emotional level of her acting.
But Kuze was fucking awful. Like, he... Okay, the whole, like, stuttering thing is, like, man, just don't do that. You had no
reason. He had, like,
reason.
Weird computer error.
It was like, very, like, Max Hedren from, like...
I did expect him to just halfway through go, like, rebuffering.
And then turn into Ultron.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then make the AOL reboot noise. Like, oh, that's the Windows reboot noise. Anyway. Okay. So, I mean, just, like, basically summarizing it, like, how'd you feel about it? If you could just... you know, put it in a sentence.
To me, I've said this multiple times, but this movie was like the RoboCop remake that nobody wanted. Because it's RoboCop.
It is RoboCop. Oh, shit, it is RoboCop.
It's RoboCop.
It's 100% RoboCop. Yeah.
It is RoboCop.
We did talk about that, yeah.
Who in the law enforcement gets put into a robot body against his will and forgets all his memories? RoboCop.
Yeah.
It is RoboCop.
It is 100% RoboCop.
But it's not like... it's not satirical. There's no humor in it.
Yeah, they don't. It takes
even
no dick shots.
Hold on, wait. Even the spider tank is reminiscent of that mech thing.
From RoboCop 2.
You mean the spider tank that they talk about seven times before they show it?
Yeah. Spider tank. So the spider tank. So I'm going to take control of the spider tank. It looks nothing like a spider.
I thought it was soulless, and it was pandering to a Comic-Con crowd a few years too late.
Go ahead, child.
Shoot, y'all late.
Yeah, like I said, pretty okay action movie. I definitely understand, like, the outrage from fans of the series. If you don't know what Ghost in the Shell is, then you can expect a pretty okay action movie, and that's about it.
What do y'all think about L?
Well, we're getting there.
I know, but I'm excited.
I don't know the kind of L
that you take before you bounce back. Last night.
Basically, I agree with everyone. Visually, it's great. The one thing that I feel very conflicted with is the fact that I feel like even though it's not the greatest movie, and even though I don't want to support, I guess, the sloppy movie making at the end of the day, kind of still watch it. Because it supports the fact that there could be eventually a good anime movie out there. So that is something to consider. However, it is boring as hell. But if you do like kind of sci-fi visuals,
there are moments during the movie that are cool. Like the action is cool. The fight in the rain is really cool.
Iconic scenes.
That's all
iconic,
fan art,
it's
though.
All, but
that's
it's
all been laid
it's
out.
Fan art. It is basically fan art.
That's
like
cheating.
Basically some Tumblr shit.
You're tracing.
I do want to just interject because I am reading the chat. Catherine Norton said, if my $1 billion robot was walking like ScarJo in the movie, I would want a refund. Zing.
Nice. So on that note, we're actually also going to talk about the new Death Note.
On that note,
Netflix series.
Send us your names.
So,
and a picture of you.
And a pic. No.
Wait, I mean, are you L?
I don't think he's.
Oh my God, it's L. We got L and Kira here with us today.
I'm not Kira. My name's Light.
We're not anything.
Light Turner.
Yeah, we're not actually in the show at all.
No, we're not.
So, you know, just ignore us. We'll just blend into the background.
We're just the page lines in the Death Note.
So if you haven't watched the teaser trailer yet, it's awful. There's literally no other word for it. It's just like bad tropes all around.
It's one of those things where I saw it, and I am a big fan of Death Note. So I saw the trailer, and my reaction was basically like, I really hope it's a lot better than that. Like, I'm holding out hope, but man, that really didn't give me any.
Wow, that's, yeah. And you know, to be fair, he's probably one of the more optimistic critics that I've probably ever
had. I mean, just based on our conversation, he's much more forgiving.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, this is going to be a piece of shit.
Like, why is there so much action in this? That killed me. I was like, why is there so much action in this trailer?
They're constantly running. It's about a notebook you write your name in. There should not be that much running.
The most action in the anime is like him swiping his pen across the page.
Yeah.
And
when he like flips out like his watch like really dramatically. Yeah. Like pshaw, you know, but like that's whole thing is like I feel like this is going to be one of those franchises where they saw it and they're like, "Oh, this is people really like this," mm-hmm. but they're going to do zero research. Well,
I'm really excited about like what they're going to do with L, though. Like, he's going to be a rapper. He smokes L's.
So, that makes sense. Yeah.
That's why he's called L.
Yeah, that's why he's called L in this. He goes by LL.
And he also pronounces the word ill like L.
Yeah, like he's like, I'm ill.
That's L.
Yeah.
Does he like tag a lot?
Yeah, he
too?
Does. He just goes L. Yeah, but it's all in like that Latin script.
Yeah.
Comic Sans if he's really mad about this.
I hope it's Comic Sans. That would just add to this movie. Okay. Based on the trailer, what do you think it's going to be? Like, what do you think the story is going to play out as?
I don't know, man.
Maybe, I don't know. I think it's going to be, I think there's a lot of
it's
fan service.
It's weird that they have they've changed the names because unlike Ghost in the Shell, they're actually 100% Americanizing it, right? Like, mm-hmm. he lives in Seattle and, like.
Sure.
So. But they also kept all the same characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Because, Watari is in there, which is the butler of L, which is Asian, so I guess now we're also subservient.
So,
right. We all have to work somewhere,
yeah.
right?
It's like,
we
don't know Asians.
First steps.
Only the butler can be Asian.
Yeah. So, it's kind of a weird premise of, like, we're trying to, like, fit in these weird things. And for the most part, Death Note, even though it is grounded as this movie could possibly be, you know, has demons and, like...
Is it a series or is it a movie?
It's a series. I believe. Okay. No, it's a movie.
It's a movie. Okay.
So, they're trying to cram in, basically, Death Note into 2 hours.
Yeah, it just...
Which... To be fair, Japanese
have
versions.
Had their chance, at least with this one.
There's
That's
two.
Why I give
There's
credit.
Two movies
I'm like,
for
There's
them,
two Death
yeah,
Note
I mean,
movies.
I also
three,
heard,
technically.
And I also heard those movies weren't great.
They're not good. We've watched them.
I've watched the first one.
Because I said it to you. I was just like, if this Americanized Death Note is better than the Japanese ones,
yeah.
good on you guys.
Yeah, to be fair, wasn't a very high bar to
yeah,
hurdle.
Yeah, it's real low.
So this is also going to be a really tense movie. I read an article earlier today about it that made a really good point. So this is set in America, and if they stick to the script of like what Death Note is about, Light kills a lot of prisoners in the movie, and so really like, and there's a lot of prisoners in this movie or in this country that are not white.
Yeah,
and like.
Hello.
See, this is what this is why I'm assuming. I'm going to assume that he is going to kill one white person, and then a black person, and then a Hispanic person, and then an Asian person, and then he's going to go through that cycle again, just so that everyone is equally represented in their execution.
I feel like they're probably going to kill a bunch of white people just to be like, it's not racist. It's like, but that's not like representation.
I do believe that is probably the route that they'll take to avoid those problems. It's just. It's kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward because it's like, how do you avoid that glaring distraction? It's so hard to like have, you know, we live in a very racially controversial time in general. Like, it's so hard not to see it and to integrate that into basically a show. There's no way to avoid it.
And really. Then in Death Note, the hero of the story, L. I mean, spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't seen Death Note, L dies.
Yeah.
And L's a black guy in this movie.
So it's
but
like,
before he dies,
he does expose.
There's this whole rap solo.
Yeah.
Where he passes out blunts to everybody that's around, and they can see demons.
Right. Mm.
And that's how he
saves
the
world. But you forgot about his like rap single that he also gives, and they open it, and they realize that's where all his plans are, which is in a dope order, lyrically.
You're so ill.
I feel like the plot that you guys have put together right here at the
it's
table
better.
Is better.
Yeah. I would totally watch that.
Have they revealed the casting for Nier and Mello yet at all? Or
I don't think Nier and Mello are going to be in this movie.
At all?
I don't think so.
I wonder if they're just going to stick to like first season.
It might be.
A lot of hardcore Death Note fans believe that the story should have just ended when L died.
I think it shouldn't have, just because it's like the ending of him trying to survive and him kind of falling into desperation is also a very interesting
I agree. Arc. I think that was like one of the most compelling parts of the whole series.
It's like the idea of Death Note to me was always like, there's someone that becomes a god and then falls from grace. You know, and that was the overall. Yeah.
Well, and he sets out originally to sort of do good. Yeah, he wants to only hurt bad people, and then even that gets corrupted.
Exactly. Okay. And that's always been like the thing that grabs everyone, because at the end of the day, it's a human with power, and that's
relatable.
Always a very interesting
very
story.
Relatable.
Like, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this Netflix series will be able to do that in 2 hours, which I...
Ben Parker said that.
Yeah. Like, that would that...
Yeah.
I also
absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Ben Parker, Spider-Man.
I also would have maybe had a little more confidence if it was instead a Netflix series instead of a movie.
Yeah. I think that's going to be
then it can cover more
too.
Bases.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty deep story.
I just want to see that cheerleader Smoke in her little cheerleader formation for like 12 more hours, though. Because that shit was the funniest dumb thing I've ever seen in anything ever. It's so dumb.
Also, Misa is supposed to be like a pop star, and she kind of looked like darker and more brooding somehow in this one. She's like a brunette.
It's one of those things, again, where I feel like the character is not going to fit with the anime. It just...
But, okay, so just imagine this, right? You have all this dark undertone, all the characters are kind of gritty and, you know, sort of like True Detective-ish, and then Willem Dafoe's voice just from the shadows as the devil.
I was actually excited when I heard that he would be Ryuk, because I think that, like...
He has the face.
I think he
has the face.
Yeah,
wow. True.
He does. There's no makeup. But,
he's just wearing a suit.
He's just wearing... Has anyone seen a Boondock Saints? He's just straight up wearing a dress. Like, it's just him as when he's dressed up as a woman. I don't know. I feel like this is one of those series that's going to have a problem, like Iron Fist was a problem.
Yeah, and I feel like with this series, like, there's been a lot of like discussion, even in the chat, about like how... This necessarily doesn't have to be a Japanese story with Japanese leads.
Oh,
I tend to agree, but I think the problem is that they're saying, oh, it takes place in Seattle and it's Americanized, but it's still predominantly white in a city that is pretty diverse.
Yeah.
And that's really the issue I think that we take with. And,
listen, guys, you need to understand, like, black people only make up, 15% of the country. We don't need that much exposure on screen.
The worst thing, I looked up the statistics, and, like, it's the Asian population in Seattle is actually bigger than the black.
That's actually very true.
Yeah, it's more than one in 20 person.
They own Microsoft.
So
just a bunch of that.
if to be fair, if we didn't have him as a white person, he was actually an Asian actor, would that have helped, do you think?
I mean,
based on the trailer, his race doesn't matter. Yeah. That wasn't the problem in the trailer.
That's true.
I think it would have helped for an audience that I feel is similar to us as otaku of sorts, to the constantly flourishing and growing K-pop group. Like, they could have cast a Korean dude.
They could have cast
a really pretty Korean dude. They would have hit a market that would have
just cast
not
Rain
only
again.
You would have dragged in the old otaku who appreciate that it's just an Asian dude. Then you would have caught the K-pop girls who squeal every time one of them does a lyric.
Like, I think it would have helped just the overall discussion and the overall problem of Asian people not getting Asian roles. And I think that to me, like, that's the biggest reason to be upset even about Ghost in the Shell, is, like, you're just continuing a pattern of this happening all the time in Hollywood, yeah. And it, like, needs to stop.
Taking the heroes and archetypes that little Asian girls can actually look up to, yeah. Which is actually a big deal. Because when you look at a screen, it's reflecting an image of beauty and wonder back onto you. If you've never seen these images that reflect an Asian woman, they're always this white woman, that's what you're going to strive towards. The same way anybody and any ethnicity, if you don't see something that reflects something that is big and powerful back at you, you won't really consider that could be you.
Yeah.
And I feel like at the end of the day, though, like, it's the idea of just pure laziness. The mm-hmm. fact that no one wants to change or even take a risk.
They're afraid.
Just because of the fact that, like, that's not how it works. Like, no shit. But the movie industry has, for the most part, changed a lot. And this is definitely one of those things that they should change.
Yeah. It's behind the times.
That's why there was so much excitement even around, like, Luke Cage when that came out. It's like they took a risk basing a show around a predominantly black cast.
They wrote it vanilla as fuck, but it was enjoyable.
Yeah, but it was at the very least, like, that was a compromise.
Yes.
Which seems...
three-fourths compromise.
Yeah. Yeah. So far there hasn't been any compromise with the Asian
roles. Oh, no.
But on the deathness stuff, I do want to touch on something because I think it's important for people to hear. Because a lot of people have used the argument that, well, if the Japanese people are okay with ScarJo and these white people leading it, then we should all be okay with it. So on Rocket News 24, they actually went and looked at the Japanese netizens to see what their reactions to it. In general, people were saying, well, they're fine with Light being white because it's an American setting. However, when they talk about L being black, it gets really ugly. Some of the stuff said is...
Yo, Japanese people don't like Africans, yo.
So it's like
not even black Americans. They don't like Africans. And they think all African... Go ahead.
It gets really muddy because I think it's this thing that, like... as Westerners don't really see the difference between Asian people as people in Asia do. So one of the things that were said about L is... The thing out of place is that L being black. Going by the original manga, L being black is far stranger than him being white. Just stuff like that. And then their comments on, like, non-Japanese Asians, they would have more problems if, like, a Korean woman had played Kusanagi or if L's role went to a different kind of Asian, because that is the sort of discrimination that exists in Asia, which we as Asian Americans don't tend to have to deal with, because when we are marginalized, we are seen as just Asian and not by our individual, like, ethnic group. Mm. And in Asia, it's completely different.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, me being Asian and Yume being
Asian. You're Asian?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The tallest one.
Thank you.
We were originally white people kidnapped by Asian scientists.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You know, experiments.
Number 100 and 101.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm so tall. I have white people legs. Anyway.
Where's my white people legs?
I'm sorry.
You're an Arab.
You're actually Asian
dog.
Inside.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm 102.
You're Middle Eastern, dude. I'm going to fake it.
It sucks because it's like, you know, Japanese and Korean relations, it's a real thing. This is
so sad because they have so much fun as B-boys.
Yeah. And
that's true.
Yep.
It's true.
It's like,
you know,
the one community
younger...
where they're really, like, really, like, doesn't matter. It's like, if you can dance.
If you can dance, you can dance. But it's the younger generation, I feel like, are moving more towards, you know, sort of everyone being inclusive.
Yeah.
And the problem really is that I feel like this is America, though, and it's great because we don't have to deal with that. We don't have to see, like, even though there is still... Yeah, we have our own problems, but, like, we have the opportunity to actually become a successful melting pot society.
Yeah.
Mm. And we're not doing ourselves any sort of credit by perpetuating this very lazy habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think a lot of I would say this, and, like, even to the audience, as I like to address the audience. Hello.
Hello.
You out there. I think it's important to understand the age we're in. We're in an age of information. Everyone out in the world is peering into the world. Walls are dropping, which means we actually see the differences between us, but we also see the similarities. And I don't feel like the film industry is brave enough to believe in the intelligence of people as we've come to the point where we recognize, okay, all these things aren't like the other thing. Yes, it's going to be some kid's favorite movie, but when they get older, they're going to go, wait, this is weird. And it's just a member berries thing as opposed to a life lesson and something that's going to actually effectively, efficiently change people's lives for the better. I feel like personally I take on a lot of responsibility as an entertainer to convey something that is more healing and true to the audience as opposed to just trying to feed them popcorn, Pepsi, bubblegum, sugar, candy, which is what Ghost in the Shell was, which, I mean, they've shifted around casting with Netflix. Netflix has an interesting track record with diversity and an expansion of the conversation of diversity in their content. I have more faith in Death Note than I have in Big Hollywood, because Big Hollywood is a slower moving organic process, which they are moving very much so worldly. Matt Robb, who is a great friend of ours, a creative director, he said everyone's talking about how trashed Ghost in the Shell is getting. Wait till it comes out in China on Friday. We'll see how it's really going to do. Yeah. Well, that is the world.
You know, the thing is,
it'll probably do fine. Like, if you watch, like, since we all watched it, there were two Chinese corporations involved in producing this, and I think that is exactly one of the reasons why they cast a white person. Because a lot of the Chinese believe that if you cast a Japanese person, they will watch it. And I think
we also know how much they love Matt Damon.
Yeah,
they love the shit out of Matt Damon.
I watched 20 minutes of the wall, and the shit was fucking boring.
I just watched the whole thing. I almost fell asleep.
So sad.
As a person who likes movies and enjoys movies, I try to be as easygoing when I do it as possible. But just because I remember the magic of when I was young and going to the theater and just really appreciating a movie, so I always go in with an open mind. And even though Death Note's trailer looks bad and it feels bad when I watch it, I'm still going to approach it as I always do, separating myself from the movie and being like, this is someone else's vision. Give it a chance.
You get to see what it is, give not it what you want it to be.
And so I will give it a chance, and that is what I will say about
that. Well, that is a very good lesson. And on that note, we're going to have to wrap.
Is that a Death Note? You like notes a lot. I don't trust you.
It's just bow. We're just going to bow constantly. So where can they find you guys?
Find me on Twitter, @Flitz, on other things, @Flitz. But I'm also @Nerdsworth on Instagram, plus on SoundCloud and like other stuff. So just search those two names. I'm the black one.
Yeah. You can find me @Sohinky on everything except for It's Real Sohinky on Snapchat, because someone's a jerk and stole my name.
Nice.
Damn.
Go ahead.
You can find me everywhere on the internet @YumaWarlock.
And you can find me on everything as well @MaxSalts. Next week, we have no clue what we're doing, but Michelle is leading. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, give us a like. I don't know. Try watching more of our stuff.
Watch more. Support this show. These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
We try our hardest. Anyway, we'll see you next week.
Matarashine.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.